From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Reed McCollum reading Gray Lensman by Edward E. Smith, Ph.D. Now let's begin with the foreword written by Edward E. Smith, Ph.D. 2,000 million or so years ago, at the time of the coalescence, when the first and second galaxies were passing through each other, and when myriads of planets were coming into existence where only a handful had existed before, two races of beings were already old, so old that each had behind it many millions of years of recorded history. Both were so old that each had perforce become independent of the chance formation of planets upon which to live. Each had, in its own way, gained a measure of control over its environment. The Eresians by power of mind alone, the Edorians by employing both mind and mechanism. The Eresians were indigenous to this, our normal space-time continuum. They had lived in it since the unthinkably remote time of their origin. And the original Eresia was very Earth-like in mass, composition, size, atmosphere, and climate. Thus, all normal space was permeated by Eresian life spores, and thus upon all Earth-like or Tellurian planets, there came into being races of creatures more or less resembling Eresians in the days of their racial youth. None except Tellurians are Homo sapiens, of course. Few can actually be placed in the genus Homo. But many millions of planets are peopled by races distantly recognizable or belonging to the great class of man. The Edorians, on the other hand, were interlopers, intruders. They were not native to our normal space-time system, but came to it from some other, some alien and horribly different other plenum. For eons, in fact, they had been exploring the macrocosmic all, moving their planets from continuum to continuum, seeking that which at last they found, a space and a time in which there were enough planets soon to be inhabited by intelligent life to sate even the Edorian lust for dominance. Here, in our own space-time, they would stay, and here, supreme, they would rule. The elders of Eresia, however, the ablest thinkers of the race, had known and had studied the Edorians for many cycles of time. Their integrated visualization of the cosmic all showed what was to happen. No more than the Eresians themselves could the Edorians be slain by any physical means, however applied, nor could the Eresians, unaided, kill all of the invaders by mental force. Edor's all-highest and his innermost circle, in their ultra-shielded citadel, could be destroyed only by a mental bolt of such nature and magnitude that its generator, which was to become known throughout two galaxies as the Galactic Patrol, would require several long Eresian lifetimes for its building. Nor would that building be easy. The Edorians must be kept in ignorance, both of Eresia and of the proposed generator, until too late to take the effective countermeasures. Also, no entity below the third level of intelligence, even or especially of the patrol, could ever learn the truth, for that knowledge would set up an inferiority complex and thus rob the generator of all ability to do the work for which it was designed. Nevertheless, the Eresians began building. On the four most promising planets of the first galaxy, our Earth, or Sol 3, Volantia, Rigel 4, and Palane 7. Breeding programs, aiming toward the highest mentality of which each race was capable, were begun as soon as intelligent life developed. On our Earth, there were only two bloodlines, since humanity has only two sexes. One was a straight male line of descent, and was always named Kinnison, or its equivalent. Civilizations rose and fell, Eresia surreptitiously and unobtrusively lifting them up, Edor callously knocking them.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?